Shalom to all. Today's office Chul and Daf Tzadi. We're talking about the 12th line with the words Amar Chiya Bar Yosef. And today's office sponsor Lili Nishmas Marsh Mim Sarbas Yaakov Moshe Hernish Shamo should have an Aliyah. So we just finished a very detailed back and forth explaining the Chiddush of the time of the Mishnah. The Gidah Nashi applies by Mugdashin. So we continue discussing this. Amar Chiya Bar Yosef, he tells us Loi Shanu El Kachim Nachalin. This was only taught, meaning there's an Isser of Gidah Nashi is by Kachim Nachalin, Kachim which are eaten, such as Chatas Ashim and Shlamim. Aval Kachim Shein Nachalin, but Kachim that are not eaten, meaning carbon oil which is completely burned, ain't Isser Gidah Behen. There's no Isser of Gidah Nashi. Whereas Rabbi Yechon Amar, he says Echa Kachim whether it's edible and even non-edible kachim, there's an iser gid on nasha. Now, the question is, what exactly are they referring to? So, Amar Papa, he tells us, they're not arguing. Rav Chibar Yosef, Rabbi Yochanan are not arguing. Kan lehal kaisai. Rabbi Yochanan is referring to giving him malchus. If he eats a gid on nasha, he's going to get malchus. That's whether it's from chatos ashim or shlamim or even ayla. Whereas Kan, Rav Chibar Yosef, lehal loisai. He's talking about bringing it up on the mizbeach. Namely, when a carbon oil is being brought on the mizbeach, we don't have a problem of gid on nasha being put on it. The chiddush in that is, as we're going to see on Amud Beis, this is going to be mentioned, you shouldn't think that when the Torah says, don't eat the Gid HaNasheh, that's referring to the Mizbeach eating, meaning consuming the Gid HaNasheh, and there would be an Isser to put the Gid HaNasheh on the Mizbeach. No, there's no problem. The carbon oil is put on the Mizbeach along with this Gid HaNasheh. Now, some say that Amar Papa, had Rav Papa explain the opinions of Rav Chiya Bar Yosef and Rabbi Yochanan, the Volei Pligi, they're not arguing. Kan, L'chaltzai, Rav Chiya Bar Yosef is referring to removing it, meaning there's no Chiyuv to remove the Gid HaNasheh from the oil before it's put on the Mizbeach, and that's in essence the same thing he just mentioned previously. Whereas the Kan, L'chaltzai, over here in Rabbi Yochanan's opinion, it's referring to bringing it up, meaning the Gid HaNasheh got separated from the carbon, so then it's not allowed to be brought on the Mizbeach. That's what Rechem meant when he said the Gid HaNasheh does apply to an Oilah. However, Rav Nachman Yitzchak argues with their Papa, and he says, La'aloisai pligi, that there actually is machlokes between Rav Chiya Bar Yosef and Rabbi Yochanan, and they're arguing specifically regarding aloisai bringing it up on the Mizbeach, and Rabbi Yochanan holds that the Gid HaNasheh is not allowed to be brought on the Mizbeach, and it has to be removed from the animal beforehand, whereas Rav Chiya Bar Yosef holds, no, it's allowed to be brought with the animal as long as it's part of the animal, it's brought on the Mizbeach. And I don't know if this would be the machlokes of Rav Nachman Yitzchak Titani, because we have a Braiso. We're going to say this is the same machlokes Rebbe and the Rabbanon. Raisa brings a pasuk from Karmon Oila, Vehikdar Kainis Akalim Mizbecha, and the Kain shall burn everything on the Mizbeach. What does this tell us? Lurabai Satamas Vagidim Akarnaim Atlafayim. This is including the bones, sinews, horns, and hooves that they're also put on the Mizbeach. Now, Yochi might think Afil Parshu, that even if they were separated from the meat, they should nonetheless be put on the Mizbeach. Tamalim, so the pasuk says, Vasiso Elasecha Basar Adam, you shall do your Oila, Basar and Dam, Mashma, only the Basar and the Dam, and not these other things, bones, sinews, horns, and hooves, they're not going to be put on the Mizbeach. Raisa says, E Basar Adam, if we're just going to be focusing on this pasuk Basar and Dam, Yochi might think that Yachloids Gidim that I should actually remove all the gidim and bones from the animal and just put the meat of the oil on the mizbeach. So Tam Lemer, to that the pasuk says, "Veikar koin esha koil ha-mizbeacha." Everything is put on the mizbeach. So Hakeitzad, how do we understand this? Mechubarim yalu. If the bones and sinews and everything are still connected to the meat, so then they're brought on the mizbeach. Whereas Parshu, if they were separated, afilu b'roish shel mizbeach, even if they're at the very top of the mizbeach already, yardu they should come down, meaning they should be brought down. And my tana de shamas lay the arm Parshu yardu. Who's the tana of this brisa? Holds that if these things were separated from the oil, then they have to be brought down and they're not put on the mizbeach. Rabbi Yitzchitas Rabbi. The time we have another brisa that tells us, and here's the main brisa. The pasuk tells us, "V'hekdar kainis hakol, the kain shall burn everything." The rabbi said, "Sons v'gidim akarnaim v'tlafayim." That includes the bones, sinews, horns, and hooves. They should be put on the mizbeach and burned. V'afilu parashu. That's even if they're separated from the meat. So v'ha mani makayim v'sisa l'secha basar adam. How do I understand this other pasuk? You shall process your oila, the meat and the blood. Mashma, the horns, hooves, and gidim and atzamos are not going to be put on the mizbeach. That's bepaikin. If they were burst off the mizbeach, meaning if they were already put on the fires of the mizbeach, and because of the intense heat, they were blasted off the mizbeach. So then they're not going to be put back on. How do we understand that? So here's a more detailed description. If we have meat that was mu'ukal, which means it was only partially burned and then it got knocked off because of the heat, so that you're going to be machzir that you're going to put back on the fires. You're not going to return gidim and atzamos back to the top of the mizbeach, even though they were just partially consumed. And that's what the pasuk is telling us by habasar v'hadam. Now that's shitas rabbanon. Rabbi tells us because of one pasuk says v'hekdar kainis hakol riba. That's an inclusion. It says hakol everything. Because of echonimer, another pasuk says v'asisa elasach habasar v'hadam meat. That's a minimization. It just says basar and dam. Okay, so how do I understand that? So mechubarim yalu, if the bones and sinews and whatnot are connected to the meat, so then they're brought up and put on the fires. Whereas parshu, if they were separated, afilu bereshel mizbeach, even at the top of the mizbeach, yerdu they should be brought down. Now that's the end of the brisa. We still do not yet see that there's a machlokes regarding the gid hanasheh. So for the only machlokes Rabbanu Rebbe is regarding the non-meat parts of the carbon, bones and sinews and whatnot. Rebbe holds that if they were separated before being placed on the mizbeach, then they're taken down. Whereas Rabbanon hold that they're not. So we further clarify the respective shitas. Rabbanon mechubarim leisach chol erbuye. The Rabbanon don't require a pasuk to tell us that if the gidim and atzamos are still connected, they're still mechubar to the meat, that they're allowed to be put on the mizbeach. Why is that? Meat that have a resh al oila. It's no different than the head of an oila. The pasuk says that the head of an oila is supposed to be put on, and the head is made up of multiple bones. So of course you got to put meat on the mizbeach if it has the bones connected to it. Kitzurcha, what we need the pasuk for? Leparshai, in regards to these gidim and atzamos, even if they were separated from the meat, still they can be put on the mizbeach. Whereas Rebbe, how would he respond to that? Mechubar mitat teira tzadiyam beizan tabla. It's a chol erbuye. Then we have something connected to the meat, and that thing is mutter. So you're right. We don't need a pasuk pasuk tell us that we can put it on the mizbeach? Kesircha, what do we need the pasuk for? Legid hanasha b'mechaber. Specifically in regards to the legid hanasha, when it's connected to the leg of the animal, so it's allowed to be brought on the mizbeach, even though it's something that's not able to be eaten. Now, Rabbanan, they would respond to that by saying that the pasuk tells me mashke Yisrael. What do we learn from here? Mina mutter li Yisrael, something that's mutter to Yidden. In other words, according to Rabbanan, it's exact opposite. The pasuk mashke Yisrael tells us that only something mutter to eat is allowed to be placed on the mizbeach. So actually, the legid hanasha has to be removed before the meat is brought up. Whereas Rabbi, he would respond by saying, the gid hanasha is no different than the chilv and the blood. You're not allowed to eat chilv and blood of the animal, but that's part of the avodah. Same thing with gid hanasha. Whereas Rabbanan, they would say that that's not valid because mitzvahs and mekach shani, the fact that that's part of the mitzvah, makes it different. In other words, the chilv, the fats of the animal, are supposed to be put on the mizbeach. Same thing with the dam. As opposed to gid hanasha, the pasuk doesn't say anything about that. As Rabbanan used the word mashke yisrael to teach us that the gid hanasha actually has to be taken out of the animal before the leg is put on the mizbeach. Now we clearly see this machlokes Rabbi Rabbanan regarding gid hanasha, and this is a raya from Nachman bar Yitzchak that Ruchi bar Yosef and Rabbi Yochanan argue on this point. Ruchi bar Yosef is like Rabbi, and Rabbi Yochanan is like the Rabbanan. Now, can you discuss what to do with the gid hanasha of a carbon? Amar Rav Huni tells us gid hanasha shel oila, the gid hanasha of a carbon oila, chaltsoi letapuach. It has to be removed and placed on the tapuach. This tapuach, which is literally translated as apple, was the mound of ashes in the middle of mizbeach. Rashi, a bit further down the Amud, explains that any time unwanted matter is shoveled and scraped from the sides into the middle, it's called tapuach. So Rav Huni says the gid hanasha of the carbon oila is brought to the top of the mizbeach, but then removed from the leg and put on the tapuach. Amar Rav Chisda, he comments on this, Mari Dichi, master of this. Meaning, what are you saying? Miksev, does the pasuk tell us, Al kein lo yoichal ha-mizbeach, therefore the mizbeach shouldn't consume the gid hanasha? Al kein lo yoichlu b'nei Yisrael, ksev. The pasuk says the b'nei Yisrael shouldn't eat the gid hanasha, which means that the gid hanasha is allowed to be consumed on the mizbeach, so you're allowed to put in the fires with the meat, and it doesn't have to be taken out and put on the tapuach. Whereas Rav Huna, mi mashke Yisrael, he learns from his pasuk above, it tells us mashke Yisrael, and we learn from here, min ha-mutter li Yisrael, that only something that's mutter for Yidden to eat is allowed to be burned on the mizbeach. Now we have a question. Basically, Brisa tells us, gid hanasha shel shlamim, the gid hanasha of a carbon shlamim, mechabdu la'ama, it's just swept into the ama. The ama is a channel of water going through the hazara, in which a lot of refuse, such as blood and dirty water and feathers and coals and whatnot, they were swept into it, and there's water brought out of the Beis HaMikdash, and that's where the gid hanasha of a carbon shlamim shall be placed. Shall oila malayu, and gid hanasha of a oila shall be brought up. Now, my lav malayu maktiroi, does that mean that the gid hanasha should be brought to his bayach and burned as well? Question of Huna, so the Gemara, no, malayu v'chaltsoi, it's brought up to the top of his bayach, but then removed and put on the tapuach. Asking more, if it's going to be removed anyway, so why even bring it to the top of his bayach in the first place? The answer is, Mishum Shanem, because the pasuk says, Hakiveinu Nola Pechasecha, bring a please for your governor, which is basically a pasuk that we learn a number of things from, all fitting under the umbrella of that you can only bring something as a karbon if you bring it to your governor, Pechasecha. And if not, then you can't bring it as a karbon, and that's what we're saying over here. If you had a nice geshmaka thigh from an animal that you would give as a present to somebody chashuv, you wouldn't slice it open and chop it up, taking out the gid, and then giving it to him. That's not the proper way to present a nice gezunta piece of meat to him. Same thing with this thigh of the oila on the mizbeach. First, you bring it whole to the top of the mizbeach, and only then, once it's there, so to speak, already presented to Hashem, then you could cut out the gid and put on the tapuach. And thank you, Rav Huna. We actually have a brass just like Rav Huna. Gid hanasha shlamim mechabdu la'ama, the gid hanasha shlamim is swept into the ama, this canal, whereas the shal oila chal to the tapuach. It says beferosh that of a carbon oila is removed and placed on the tapuach. And now a little more about this tapuach. Then also we mentioned over there in Sechas Talmid, tapuach hayu ba'emtza mizbeach. This tapuach was in the middle of the mizbeach. Pa'amim hayu olav k'shloish meis kur. Sometimes it had 300 kur of ashes on it, which is an incredible amount. Now Rava, he says, no guzma, that's just an exaggeration. It just means that sometimes there was a lot of ashes there, but not 300 kor. Also, something similar, Hishkas HaTamid B'Kai Shal Zav, it says that before shechting the carbon tamid, they would give it to drink from a cup of gold, and that's because when it drinks before it's shechted, it's easier to take the skin off. Now, Amar Rav says over here as well, Guzma is just an exaggeration. They didn't actually give it to drink from a golden cup. Now, Amar Vami, he tells us, Dibra Tari Lashon Havai, Dibra Nevim Lashon Havai, Dibra Chacham Lashon Havai. Now, Lashon Havai means exaggeration, hyperbole. In other words, imprecise language that's used by regular people. It's not intended as a falsehood, it's just a classic way common people talk. And so Rav Ami's telling us that the Torah, Nevi'im, and Chachamim speak like this. Dibur Chacham Lashon Havai, Had Amran. If the Chacham speaking exaggeration, we just said that in regards to Tapuach. Dibur Torah Lashon Havai, how do we know that the Torah speaks in exaggeration? That's because Moshe Rabbeinu told Bnei Yisrael regarding Eretz Yisrael, Arim Gedolos Ubitzuros Bashamayim, large cities fortified to the heavens. That's what you're going to find there. And obviously, a city can't be fortified to the heavens. So that's an exaggeration. And Dibur Nevi'im Lashon Havai, how do Nevi'im spoke in an exaggerated way? We see this in regards to the coronation of Shlomo HaMelech. It says, Batibaka Ha'aretz L'Kailam, that the ground split from their noise. There was so much noise by his coronation, it was like the ground split, and obviously the ground didn't actually split. It's just an exaggeration. Amar Yitzchak Bar Nachmani, Amar Shmuley tells us, B'shlesh Makam is Dibur Chacham Lashon Havai. There's three places that we find the Chacham spoken exaggeration. Eluhin, these are them, Tapuach, Gefen, Uparoiches. Tapuach had Amran. We just mentioned Tapuach, that sometimes there was 300 kor of ashes on it, and as Rav had said, that's just an exaggeration. Gefen, what's this referring to? That now this Mishnah tells us, Gefen shel zav ha'isoy medet ha'pischa shel heichal, was a golden grapevine or cluster of grapes that was at the entrance of the heichal, umudla gabi kloinsois, and was hanging on poles. Anyone who wanted to donate a golden grape or a golden cluster maybe v'toilaba, he'd bring it to the base of Mikdash, and a kohen would hang it on this very large golden cluster that was by the entrance of the Heichal. And Rav Elazar ben Tzaddik, he tells us, there was a story, v'nimnu olav shalish meis kohanim l'fanoisa, and they had to appoint 300 kohanim to remove it, because if not, it would have just fallen down due to the weight of all the gold that was there, and this is one of the exaggerations. And Parochas, what's this referring to? Now we have a Mishnah, Rav Shimon Gamliel, Rav Shimon Asgan, Parochas, the Parochas of the base of Mikdash, Oivya Tafach, its thickness was a Tafach, val shivmu shnaim nirim neregas, and it was woven with 72 heddles, basically the loom, which is the weaving apparatus, has little holes, which are called heddles, or bati nirim, and that's where the thread is placed through. So the loom they used had 72 nirim, and val kol nima, every single thread was comprised of what? Esim arba chutim, 24 strands, erka the length, which really means the height of the Parochas, arbaim ba'amos was 40 amos, v'rachba, its width was esim ba'amos 20 amos, ushmanu shtei ribay nases, it was made from 820,000 chutim, strands. According to another explanation, ribay means young women, young maidens. So there's 82 young women that made the Parochas, ushtaim osim mashana, two were made every single year, and here's a divrei avai, the exaggeration, ushalosh meis kohanim adbilon osa, it took 300 kohanim to be toivel it when it became tamei. And the explanation of Mishnah, b'yarchshal yamin, b'yarchshal smol, they get anoshes both in the right and left thigh. It says, m'gmar masnisen like Rabbi Yehuda, our Mishnah is not like Rabbi Yehuda, the Tanya of Bryce, Rabbi Yehuda, he tells us, ein noig el ba'achas, they get anoshes only with one of them, v'adas machras shal yamin. And the das, the logic, the intellect, that leans a person to saying that it's the right one which is a problem. Now, by the way, that's the question, mishat pshita le Rabbi Yehuda, is it 100% clear to Rabbi Yehuda, it's obvious to him, the right thigh that has a problem with get anoshes? And my das, what do he mean by das machras? It's referring to das Torah, that we see in a Torah that it's like this. I don't know, perhaps, fukim sabkale, the Rabbi Yehuda is just mesopek. My das, what does he mean by das? Das noita, it means a person's intellect inclines him, leans him, pushes him towards saying that it's probably the right one, but it's not with 100% certainty. And why would that be? Well, because remember, the whole thing of get anoshes comes from Yaakov's fight with the Malchav Esav, and it says, vayayavik ish imai, which is loosely translated as each man grappled with each other, and when two people are grappling or wrestling, so their arms are wrapped around each other, the assumption is the Malchav Esav dislocated Yaakov's thigh with his right hand, that would be the stronger hand, so his right hand goes to Yaakov's left side, but then when he wraps around Yaakov because of wrestling, that means his right hand now reaches to the right thigh, and that's how he dislocated it, and so that's the das noita of why it would be the right one. So when it comes to Raya Tashma, we have talks about Karim Pesach, and we know the Pasuk tells us beferish by the Karim Pesach, don't leave any meat over until the morning, anything that was left over until the morning, but ish disrefu shall be burned in fire, and that's the classic iser of noisar, leaving kutchim meat past the time where it's allowed to be eaten. So Bryce says as follows, the bones, gidim, and noisar of the Karim Pesach should be burned on the 16th, which is the first day of Chol HaMoed. Now, Vavino, but we ask on this Bryce, hani gidim avetayu, what's the Bryce referring to when it says the gidim of the Karim Pesach? If they were left over, they have to be burned. I gide basar, if we're talking about gidim, which are considered meat, they're soft gidim that could be eaten, so chlenhu, the person should have eaten them the night of Pesach, shouldn't have left them over. Vida aitor, if you want to say the person didn't have a chance to eat them or whatever, something happened, so he left them over, well, hainu noisar, that's the same thing as noisar in the Bryce, since these are edible gidim, they're just considered like meat, so that's included in the word noisar. Why does the Bryce say gidim? I'd rather you want to say gide tzavar, we're talking about gidim sinews in the neck of the animal, well, ila basar ninhu, if they're not considered basar at all, they're not edible, so lishdinu, he should just throw them in the garbage, he doesn't have to burn them, there's no reason, they're not considered noisar. And Amar Chizr, Chizr clarify, this Bryce is referring to the gen anoshe, valibiz Rabbi Yehuda, this is the coin Rabbi Yehuda, Damru says, ain noig el ba'achas, that the isra gen anoshe only applies to one of the thighs. Now, Amar Bishlamo, Sugim Sabkale, if you want to say that Rabbi Yehuda is misopik, he doesn't know with 100% certainty that the isra gen anoshe is in the right thigh. So, Shaper, this is good, because one of the gidim is allowed to be eaten, but since we don't know 100% that that's the left one, and the right one is the one that's usher, so both gidim were left over, which requires them to be burned, because one of them is nicer. Eli Amar Mishnah Pshitale, but if you want to say that Rabbi Yehuda is 100% certain that it's the right thigh which is problematic, so the Teru Lechle, the Isru Lashade, then he should have just eaten the mutter one and thrown away the usher one, and the Brisa doesn't have to say that one of the gidim of the Karim Pesach is burned on the 16th. So it must be the Rabbi Yehuda's Mesopek. However, Amar Ikar Bar Chanina, he says not a raya, lo ilam emel chamif shepshitale. Really, I could tell you that it's Pashat Rabbi Yehuda that the right gid is the problematic one. V'chamayiskim, what are you talking about over here? That it was left over and we had to burn it? Kishahokru l'basayf nisarvu is where they originally knew this is the right and this is the left, and then they got mixed up and they couldn't tell which is right, which is left, so they had to leave it over, and that's what the Brisa is telling us. Tadi Alfam Alfam on top of Ashi Amar, he says differently, lo nisucha el shamnoi. The whole chiddush of the Brisa is regarding the fat of the gidan hashe. The time of a Brisa, shamnoi mutter, the fat of the gidan hashe, midai raisa, is mutter to be eaten. Yisrael kadoshim nagu by iser, and the yidden who are holy, their custom is that they're machmir and they don't eat it. But since midai raisa it's allowed to be eaten when it's left over Pesach morning, so it has to be burned, and that's what the Brisa is telling us. Whereas Ravina Amar, he says lo nisucha el chid Rabbi Yehuda Amar Shmuel. The whole chiddush of the Brisa is for Rabbi Yehuda said b'shem Shmuel, Amar Rabbi Yehuda Amar Shmuel. Shnei gidim hain. There's two different gidden. Panimi samach laetzem aser. The inner one, which is closer to the bone, is aser. V'chayav and olav. And one's going to be chay for eating it. He gets malchus. Whereas chitzin samach labasar. The outer one, which is closer to the meat, aser. It's aser. But the ain chayav and olav. One's not going to get malchus for it. And that's what the Brisa could be referring to. That it's this outer gid, which is aser, only midrabanan. And one's not going to be chay malchus for. And that's what needs to be burned. So we have three different explanations how the Brisa is not a raya. The Rabbi Yehuda is mesupik regarding the gid, it's actually possible Rabbi Yehuda does know 100% that's the right gid, which is the problem. We're going to stop here for the day, pick up tomorrow, continue to discuss this, trying to figure out she's Rabbi Yehuda. But for now, everyone should have a wonderful day.